Gimel or Mid Aleph. By you, it's probably 382. 382. We're a little. If you see the Tesis where it says Cheresh, equal to that in the Gemara. It says Amar Rab Tanchum. Okay, the Gemara is discussing those people that are obligated to go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Eila Regel, for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So before he said, Rab Tanchum said in a few lines before this, that if you're deaf in one ear, you don't have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, you should read the Torah ba'aznehem in their ears, plural. So the Gemara said, maybe it means the ears of all the Jews. It says, no, because that you learn out from a different Pasuk. Now, Amar Rab Tanchum, and Rab Tanchum continues in this, along the same lines, and he says, Chiga beragli achas potu min ariyah. A person who is lame in one foot Chiga beragli achas potu min ariyah. A person who is lame in one foot is not obligated to go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Yontif. Why? Because it says, Shalish regalim, plural, means feet, plural. That means you have to be able to walk with both feet. And if you're only able to walk with one foot, you're not obligated to be Eila Regal. So the Gemara says, how do you learn that out from Regalim? But Regalim, Miboyle, you need the word Regalim to exclude Lebali Kaban, people that have wooden feet. In the olden times, what they did, God forbid, if somebody, similar to what they do today, but today's much more sophisticated. In the olden times, God forbid, if somebody had a leg amputated, they would put in wooden feet for them to walk on, to stand on at least. So it says, the golem excludes that somebody who's walking with wooden feet does not have to be Eila Regel. So how does that teach us that if you're crippled in one foot, you don't have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash, when here it seems to imply we learned something else in that pasuk, that if you have a wooden foot, you don't have to be Eila Regel. So the Gemara says, Ahum mi pa'amim nafke. That you can learn it out from the word pa'amim, because the Torah says, Sholish pa'amim, three times. Now pa'amim, the Gemara says, not only means times, pa'amim also means feet. Like it says, ve'ein pa'amim elu reglayim. And the word pa'amim means feet. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, timisena regel. The foot will trample it, ragli, only the feet of a pauper, pa'amim dalim, the soles of the needy. So you see that the word pa'amei refers to the feet. So you see that the word pa'amim does not only mean three times to go up to the Beis Hamikdash, but pa'amim also means with feet. So therefore, pa'amim excludes wooden feet. And the word regalim teaches us that you must have 2 feet working to be able to have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. And if you have only 1 foot, you're not obligated to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. The amen, another pasuk says, how lovely are your feet with shoes. Bas Nadiv, daughter of the noble. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means right now. Daughter should have ever learned. What does it mean? How lovely are your footsteps in shoes or sandals. Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the noble. It says in the Gemara, what is the pasuk referring to? It says the pasuk is referring to Kamenoin Raglaim Shal Yisrael, how lovely are the footsteps of the Jews, B'shar She'elon Regel, at the time they ascend to Yerushalayim to go up to the Beis Hamikdash, meaning Na'alim, the Chazal is learning over here from the word Aliyah, going up to the Beis Hamikdash, Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the noble, who is the noble that the Jews are the daughter of, Bas Avram Avinu. The daughter of Avram Avinu is called Nadiv, the noble one. Shenamer, because it says in the Pasuk, Nadivei Amim Nasofu. The nobles of the nation gathered Amalekei Avram to the nation of God of Avraham. One second. So the Gemara says, Alekei Avram, V'alekei Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Why is it only called the God of Avram? It's the God of Avram, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Alekei Avram, Alekei Yitzchak V'Alekei Yaakov. Why does the Pasuk only say the God of Avram? Alakei Avram, it refers to the God Avram, Shoyetchila Lagedim. He was the first one of the Gedim of the converts, and therefore all the nations learn from them. Meaning that when the Jews go up to the Beis Hamikdash, all the nations of the world praise Avram Avin, the Jews. Who was the first one to be connected to the nations? Avram Avinu. Now, you ask the question, why does it say Bas instead of Ben? The Jews many times are called Bas Tzion, Bas Yerushalayim, because when the Jews are in the receiving end, they're called daughter. Because the girls are the receiving, the women are the receiving. So therefore they're called Bas Nediv, refers to the daughters of the nobles. What do you see from here? The Gemara's conclusion is, the word regalim teaches us, in order to be obligated to the Beis HaMikdash, both feet have to be functioning. If you're crippled even in one foot, you don't have an obligation to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's another word that says pa'amim, which also means feet, which teaches us you only have to go up if you have your own feet. But if you have wooden feet, even though you have 2 feet, but they're wooden, they're not your own natural biological feet, so then you also don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara's interesting conclusion so far is, if you're deaf in one ear, you don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're crippled in one leg, you don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning a person has to be healthy in order to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. And this is how it's brought down, that sometimes when you find in the Gemara people that didn't go up to the rabbis, that didn't go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and the question is, why didn't they go up to the Beis HaMikdash? There was an obligation, you know, on Yom Tov to go up. So sometimes the answer is they were sick or old, or they were crippled or whatever, you know, that they weren't able to go up to the Beis HaMikdash.
Any kind of serious illness or?
No, just the ones that the Gemara is off in the Pesukim. That you can't go up yourself, you need somebody to help you.
Yeah.
Remember, we learned before by the kids, it's that the kid that can't go up with his father to the Beis HaMikdash is potter.
So if the guy's heart failure, he can excuse him going?
It's very possible. If he wasn't able to walk up to the mountain. Don't forget, the Beis HaMikdash was on a mountain, so they had to walk up the mountain. It wasn't just an easy, wasn't a flat walking. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult. If they didn't have it, they didn't have to go. Now, the Gemara is coming in with something that really doesn't belong here, so to speak. Even though, obviously, there's a reason why everything belongs. Before, the Gemara quoted 2 sayings from Reb Tanchum. One is that if you're deaf in one ear, you don't go up to the Beis HaMikdash. And then he said, Reb Tanchum, that if you're crippled in one foot, you don't go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara says a completely different teaching in the name of Reb Tanchum. It says, Amr of Kahana. This is a Gemara in the Gemara Shabbos. It's a very famous Gemara in Chanukah Gemara. Darish Rav Nosim Bar Menyuni Mishum Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosim Bar Menyuni said in the name of Rav Tanchum the following statement. My Dechsiv, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? When the brothers threw Yosef into the pit, so the Pasuk says, Vaberek, the pit was empty, Ein Boi Mayim, there was no water. So Rashi really quotes this Gemara in Chumash also. So it says, Mimashma Shinama Vaberek, from the fact that the Torah says the pit was empty, Eini Yadeh Hashem B'mayim, don't they know there's no water? The Torah says the pit was empty. Empty means empty. So why does the Torah have to continue and say, Ein B'mayim, there's no water in the pit? So it says, when it comes to teach us, Elamayim Ein B'y. It's like a double negative makes a positive. The Torah is saying the pit was empty, there was no water. That means something else was in the pit. What was in the pit? Avon nechoshim, akrabim, yeshbe, snakes and scorpions were in the pit.
It's empty, does that mean it's empty?
Yeah, but the fact that the Torah says, the Torah adds, ein by mayim, there was no water, is coming to exclude that something else was there. Well, that's the ultimate definition. It was empty from water. If the Torah would have said a berek, it would have meant completely empty. Torah wants to tell us, why is the Torah telling us? To show that basically the brothers didn't even care too much. They knew that this pit was full of snakes and scorpions, and yet they threw Yosef into the pit.
So, the Torah would have said,
yeah, so first of all, you're adding more words. You're adding more words. But there's... Oh, so the question was... Because again, simply is because Rav Tanchum was the one that said it. And because it's the same rabbi as before, so the Gemara brings it in also. But obviously, I didn't see any mafoshim here, but obviously there has to be a connection to the Gemara, because if not, I mean, just because Rav Tanchum said it, the Gemara's not going to stick it in over here. I mean, there are other things he said also, some... Huh? It helps, yeah, in the olden times it helps, he used to do that, quoting one person to the next, whatever. But there's another interesting concept which answers your question, why the Torah doesn't say the pit was empty but it had snakes and scorpions. Because the Torah is teaching us something, as all the drasha makers, you know, all the speakers, say that if a person has no Torah, then your mind is full of snakes and scorpions. And there's no such thing that no Torah, but you're neutral. There's no vacuum. If there's no Torah, then you have snakes and scorpions. Okay. Next is a very interesting story. By the way, just one thing over here. Taisa says, why was Avraham Avinu called Tchila Legedim? Why was he called the first of the Gedim? Because Taisa says he was commanded on the mitzvah of Bris Milah. What's the process in Gedis? The process in Gedis is, a ger has to have, if he's a man, he needs a bris, and then he goes to the mikveh. Who was the first one ever to have a bris? Basically, Avraham Avinu. So if Avraham Avinu was the first one to have a bris, he was the first one of Gedim, so to speak. The Ramban, as they bring down over here, that he was Nidvas Libeles Gayer. No, from Rashi, I'm saying somewhere else. That he was the generous with the concept of wanting to convert. But Taisus learns that Tchila Legedim, because he was the first one to circumcise before anybody else in his time. So he was considered a convert through the act of bris, so to speak. Okay, now the Gemara says, so to speak, a story that took place. Tan Rabban Rabbanonot. Maitse b'Rabbi Yechon ben Breika. There's a story with Rabbi Yechon ben Breika and Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. They went to say hello to where Rabbi Yeshua and Pekin. Now, there's a din in the Gemara, just to explain why they did it. It says in the Gemara, Chayiv Adam Lekabel Pnei Rabbi Beregel. A person has to go to his Rebbe on Yom Tov. At least once. You have to go to see your Rebbe's face on Yom Tov to learn something from him. So, Rabbi Yeshua was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yechonim ben Breika and Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. So they went to see him on Yom Tov. Amar lahem, so Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Machidish hoya bebeis ha-medrash hayim. What was discussed in the Beis Medrash today? Now, what was discussed in the yeshiva? In fact, he brings down over here the Mefarshim discuss, why didn't Rabbi Yeshua go to the Beis Medrash? But the answer is, one of the answers is because Rabbi Yeshua Walein himself was the Rebbe. So he doesn't have to go to the other people. But they came to Rabbi Yeshua on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yeshua said to them, it's a very interesting Gemara, I mean, the way you see what's going on here. Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Machid Shoyeh Bebeis HaMedrash Shoyeh. What new din did they say in the Beis HaMedrash? Amr Lei, so Rabbi Yechon Ben Breika, Rabbi Elazar Ben Chisma said to Rabbi Yeshua, Talmidecha Anu, we are your students, Umeimecha Neshesim, and we're drinking your water, so you expect us to teach you something? And as Rabbi Yeshua said to them, teach me something that they learned in the Beis Medrash. So he says, they said to him, we're your students, you expect us to teach you. It's like a metaphor of water, you know, we drink your water, meaning we drink your Torah. So why do you expect us to tell you something? Amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua replied to them the following. Afal pikein, even though, you know, so to speak, I'm the teacher, but nevertheless, yafshil beis hamedrash b'lei chiddush. You can't have a yeshiva without a chiddush. So he says, I'm not asking you to teach me something, but if there's something new happened in the Beis Medrash, let me hear what the din was. So he says, then he asked the question as follows. Shabbos shal mi haisa. Whose Shabbos was it? Whose weekly speech was it? I'll explain this whole thing in a second. So they said, Shabbos shal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haisa. So they sent him, it was the week of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he said, what were they discussing in the Beis Medrash? So he says, they were learning about the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel is the mitzvah, the year after Shemitah, after the sabbatical year, that Sukkot, Shemitah is over, so Rosh Hashanah started the eighth year. So on that Sukkot, men, women, and children had to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. That's what the Torah says. Hakel as a noshim v'taf. It's in this week's parsha, by the way. It's on Vayelech. Every man, woman, and child has to go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Hakel. So he said, what did he explain? The whole country went. He says, Hakel as a'om. Ha'anoshim v'anoshim v'taf. The men, women, and children. So he says, im anoshim boim. We can understand why the men come. Lumi. Because they have to learn. Right, the Melech would read from the Sefer Torah, so they would have to learn. Noshim, the women, boys, v'shmaya, are coming to hear. We understand, they hear the mitzvahs. Okay? Abetaf, kids, lama boyim, why are the kids coming? What's the purpose of bringing kids to the Beis Hamikdash? So it says, what did they learn? K'delitin schay lemiviyehen. To give reward to those that bring them. Meaning, the kids didn't learn, the kids didn't know how to hear, because they were your babies. So why do you bring kids? That the parents should get reward for bringing the kids to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is what Rabbi Yechonim ben Breka and Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma told Rabbi Yeshua, that was discussed in the Beis HaMikdash that week. Amar lehem, so he said to them, Margolius teva haise biyatchem. You had a precious stone in your hand, or bikashim labda mimeni, and you wanted to withhold it from me? In other words, when he asked them to say something, so originally they were hesitating to say it. He said, we're your students, what are we going to teach you? So when they finally told it to him, that what did he say? That men come to learn, women come to listen, and the kids come to give reward to the parents. So he says, you wanted to hold this precious stone away back from me? You can't do that. By the way, Tesis says an interesting thing over here. The bottom Tesis to the left. Tesis says, "K'delitin schalim eviyehem." Tesis says, "Valzeh samchu lahavi ketanim lebeis haknesses." This is the source of bringing kids to shul. B'cheda, kids can't daven that much. Kid, why do you bring kids to shul? Because Jossek in the time of Hakel, Tesis says, they brought kids to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Tesis says you have to bring kids to shul also.
For the parents to get a reward?
Yeah.
Why would they get a reward?
Huh?
Why are they getting a reward?
Because, why? I mean, so what's the purpose of them coming?
Yeah.
To be in an atmosphere.
Last week you said to the practice.
So the Mefarshim, the Mashal explains, it depends on what age kids. If you're talking about kids, a 10-year-old kid can understand something, right? He's not bar mitzvah, but he can understand. Taf is babies. Taf is the age that they don't understand. So he said, what are you bringing them for? The answer is, they're not even at the age of chinuch yet. Like 6 or 7 is the age of education. Taf is even the babies, 2-year-old, 1-year-old, whatever. So even though they didn't understand necessarily what was going on, but they were in the environment of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring them.
So you should bring babies to shul?
Yeah, but it says in Shechinah, providing they don't disturb. That's what it says. Shechinah says you can't bring kids to shul if they disturb. But there's an interesting thing over here, going back now to analyze the story. What does it mean that Yeshua asked him whose week was it to speak? So, Rashi says over here, Rashi doesn't say it, but the Mefarshim explain. It's based on the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says that Gamliel had a big problem with Rabbi Yeshua. Or Rabbi Yeshua had a problem with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had many disputes. At one time, and Rabbi Gamliel was very, very hard. He was a very strict man, Rabbi Gamliel. He was the leader of the Jewish people. At one time, him and Rabbi Yeshua debated what day should be Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Gamliel said one thing, and Rabbi Yeshua said something else. So Rabbi Gamliel ordered that Rabbi Yeshua should come to him on the day that Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur, but Rabbi Gamliel didn't, and he ordered him to come with his money pouch and his walking stick, as if to show that it's not Yom Kippur. So the yeshiva saw that Rabbi Gamliel went so far, they said, you know what? No good. We have to oust Rabbi Gamliel. He can't treat everybody like this. The only question is, who are they going to appoint instead of him? Because Rabbi Gamliel is a very harsh person, and if he would give what's called a kpeda, if he would be upset with the new leader, it could hurt him. So they needed to find a guy that had money, that had scholarship, and that he came from a great ancestry. And the one they found was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is the famous story when he was only 18 years old, and his wife said to him, so they came to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they said to him, we want you to become the Jewish leader. So he said, I have to ask my wife. Even those days, I have to ask my wife. So he went to his wife, and she said to him two things. First of all, she said, you look like a baby, nobody's going to respect you. You don't even have any white hair. And secondly, just like they ousted Rabbi Gamliel, so they're going to oust you soon. So what do you need it for? So he said, so Hashem made a miracle that he grew white hair overnight. That's why he said, I'm like a man of 70, in that God. And secondly, about this, he says, listen, when times are good, it's good. When times are bad, it's bad. So right now, they want to make me the head, I'll make become the head. The prayer of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the head. It went for a while, and there's a whole story of Rabbi Gamliel. They reinstituted Rabbi Gamliel. But the question was, they can't oust Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So what should they do? No. It's interesting, they didn't do that. 3 weeks Rabbi Gamliel, and 1 week Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
These are the Jews.
Huh?
These are the Jews?
Yeah. That's what Rabbi Gamliel said. Rabbi Gamliel said, and by the way, when Rabbi Yeshua came to him, he got up and he kissed him, and he says, you're great for what you just did. And he said, don't worry about it, because the Chacham have that ability. Now, they eventually decided, this is Gemara and Brachas, they eventually decided to have Rabbi Gamliel lecture 3 weeks of each month, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the remaining week. Okay? Now, the yeshiva was in Yavne. Rabbi Yeshua lived in Pekin. So he didn't know, like, whose week was what. So that's why when the two rabbis came to him, he said to them, whose turn was it to lecture? Because it could have been Rabbi Gamliel's. It could have been Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he said Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, it's interesting. Taisus says over here, the Leik ben Azai, the Gemara asks, the Gemara said by Hakel, men come to learn, women come to hear. And kids, their parents should get reward. So Taisa says, it's not like ben Azai's opinion. Because ben Azai holds, women are obligated to learn Torah. So then women have to come to learn also. And the Gemara says, men come to learn, and women come to listen. So Taisa says, it's not like the opinion of ben Azai. What's interesting, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds women are not obligated to learn. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, men are coming to learn, and the women are coming to listen, to hear. But kids come only to get the reward. Okay, there's basically the story. And the Farshim also pointed out one interesting point over here, that when Rabbi Yeshua said to them, tell me what they said in Beis Medrash, and the students said, listen, we're your students, how can we teach you? So Rabbi Yeshua answered them basically, my desire to hear it outweighs the fact that you're my students and you shouldn't be telling me. In other words, the fact that I want to hear outweighs the fact that you're not allowed to teach me. So Rabbi Yeshua was like Meichel on his covered, and he told him, you have to tell me, Ein Beis HaMedrash B'lei Chiddush. It's a very interesting, it's a very well-known Gemara, this quote, Ein Beis HaMedrash B'lei Chiddush, that there's no Beis HaMedrash without a Chiddush. I mean, every time there's learning, there has to be something new coming up. the world, so to speak, asks the question, Shlema Melech says in Keheles, Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. That means everything is already there. What Shlema Melech means, by the way, all the inventions that they come up now with computers and telephones, electricity, it always was here. There's nothing new. They invented it. They revealed it. They found out. You know, the laws of physics were always there. You know, the ability of electricity was always there. Everything was always there, just that they didn't discover it yet. They didn't invent it yet, but it was always there. So the question is, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ein kol chodesh tachas haShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. How can you say, Ein beis medrash b'lei chiddush? That there's no beis medrash without a chiddush if there's nothing new under the sun. So the world says, when you're sitting tachas haShemesh, when you're sitting under the sun, meaning you're sunbathing, so Ein kol chodesh, then there's nothing new. If you're in a beis medrash learning, then you have a chiddush. So Shlomo HaMelech says, if you're busy doing nothing, there's nothing new. But in learning, there's always a chiddush. And by the way, while we're on this, there's another interesting question the chassidus asks. It says, Kol ma she'talmid v'asik osid l'chadish, the Gemara says, anything that a proper student of Torah will come up with a chiddush was already given to Moshe at Sinai. So not only is it a contradiction to this Gemara, but it's a contradiction within itself. The Gemara says, any new thing that a student comes up with was already given to Moshe. If it was already given to Moshe, then it's not new. And if it's new, it wasn't given. So how can the Gemara say a statement that every new thing that a Talmud says was already given to Moshe? Then it's not new. So the explanation is, the Rebbe explains this in Sichas, but a lot of Mefarshim say this concept, that it was already given to Moshe at Sinai, but it was hidden. This student had the merit to reveal it. So even though it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, this is only in a concealed form, it wasn't revealed yet. By this person revealing it, he's making it new into the world. But it was already there, but it was hidden. Remember, we told the famous story in the Gemara Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu, the story in the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, I would like to see the future generations of learning Torah. So Hashem brought him, says in the Gemara, Hashem brought him to Rabbi Kiva's classroom, to Rabbi Kiva's lecture hall. And Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back of the room. So Moshe is listening to Rabbi Kiva's lecture, and Rabbi Kiva said something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. In learning, Rabbi Kiva said something Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So it says, he became like, his face dropped, like he was depressed. How could Rabbi Kiva know something he didn't know? So finally, a little while later, one of the students asked Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi, how do you know this din that you just said? So he said, Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. It was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard that it was Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai, he felt better. But the obvious question is, what did Rabbi say? Kindergarten over here. He heard his name mentioned, he felt good. What's the story? If it was given to Moshe at Sinai, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know it? And if Moshe Rabbeinu knew it, what do you mean Rabbi Kiva said? I mean, what's going on? So explanation is the same concept. Everything in Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Everything could be found in Torah. Each student has the merit to reveal that aspect in Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the generalizations of Torah, the general guidelines of Torah. This particular detail, Rabbi Kiva revealed that Moshe Rabbeinu Taka didn't know it. But it's based on the guidelines and the general rules that Moshe Rabbeinu had at Har Sinai. So it's not a contradiction. The student reveals it, but it was already given to Moshe at Har Sinai. Okay, now the Gemara says, four lines in the bottom. Ve'ei Dadash, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azai expounded further. That's one opinion. Another opinion is that it refers to not Rabbi Elazar ben Azai, but Rabbi Yeshua. It says, as Hashem Marta Yaim, who it says in Chumash, and also in this week's Parsha, as Hashem Marta Yaim, which means, you praised Hashem today, the Jews praise Hashem, Hashem Amircha Yaim, and Hashem praises you today. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, you praise Hashem, and Hashem is praising you. So he says, what does it mean? Amalev, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, it is explained as follows. Amalev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Atem asesuni chativa achas ba'elam. You made me a unique praise in the world. Vani esa eschum chativa achas ba'elam, and I'm going to make you a unique praise in the world. Meaning, so to speak, tit for tat. Hashem says to the Jews, you praise me, I will praise you. And the Gemara continues. Atem esesuni chativa achas ba'elam. You make me a unique praise. Because what do you say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What did the Jews say? That Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. V'ani yaseh eschem chachati v'achaz ba'elo. And I'm going to make you one praise in the world. Shenemel mi kam chuki Yisrael, goyachah ba'aretz. Who is like you, one nation in the world. So basically, what is the Gemara, what is he saying? When it says, the Eden, as Hashem emarta hayeh, meaning, the Jews praise Hashem, that Hashem is special and unique, by saying Hashem Echad. And Hashem praises the Jews, that they are Goy Echad Ba'aretz. They're one nation, unique nation in the world. And this is similar, what the Gemara says in Brachas. The Gemara says, Tefillin Demara Alma Maksiv Bohu. The kids say it in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer. The Gemara asks, what does it say in God's Tefillin? Because we know the Gemara says Hashem puts on tefillin. Because any mitzvah He gives us to do, He does. So the Gemara asks, what does it say in God's tefillin? So the Gemara says, in God's tefillin it says this pasuk. Umi ka'amcha ki Yisrael ge'yachah ba'aretz. Who is like you Jews, the unique nation on the earth? So the Gemara says, what comes out from this is, that when the Jews put on tefillin, what does it say in the Jews' tefillin? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what it says in our tefillin. So when we put on tefillin, we praise Hashem, which causes Hashem to put on tefillin, His tefillin, that in Hashem's tefillin it says that the Jews are great. Now, it's interesting, there's a top tesis over here that explains something because of this Gemara, but we do Shabbos at Mincha. If you see the top right tesis, on the top right side of the page, Tesis of Mikamcha Yisrael Ge'ocha Ba'aretz, who is like you? You know, we say this Shabbos afternoon at Mincha. What do we say? Ata Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, U'Mikamcha Yisrael Ge'ocha Ba'aretz. Yeah? So Tesis brings down, Amrina B'Medrash, it says in the Medrash, Shleisha Mi'idim Zeh Al Zeh. Three people, three things testify in each other. Yisrael, Shabbos, V'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Jews, Shabbos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Yisrael v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'iden ala Shabbos. Jews and Hashem testify about Shabbos that it's Yom Menucha, that it's a day of rest. Yisrael v'Shabbos ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu echad, that God is one. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos testify about the Jews that they're yechidim ba'umis, that they're unique amongst all nations. So Tesis continues, this is the reason why we say Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, Shabbos at Mincha, even though it's not discussing Shabbos like Maariv and Shachris does. If you look in Davening, yeah, Friday night we speak about the creation of the world, and so on, right? We testify about Shabbos. Shabbos morning, we speak about Matan Torah. Yismach Meisha b'Matnas Chalkei refers to Hashem giving the Torah to the Jewish people, which happened on Shabbos. So we talk about again Shabbos. Shabbos Mincha, we don't even talk about Shabbos. We say, you are one, your name is one, the Jews are great. What does that have to do with Shabbos? So Taisa says, based on the Medrash that explains this Gemara, that the Jews and Shabbos, that, or like he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shabbos testify about the Jews that they're special. So therefore, because Shabbos and God testify that the Jews are great, Shabbos afternoon, we speak about the greatness of the Jewish people. Why? Because Shabbos testifies that God is great and the Jews are great. Okay, then he says, V'afu pasach v'dodesh, and he also started and explaining, again, the question is, who is the he? And it says, Divrei Chachamim, he said the following statement. The words of Chachamim, Kedorvenis ale goads, I'll explain in a sec what that is, Uva masmeres netuim, and like nails well planted, Bale asufis, the masters of the assembly, Nitnu mireya echad, were given from one shepherd. This is a pasuk in Kehelas. Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelas the following statement. The words of the Chachamim are kedarbenis, like goads. What's a goad? He said it's a long stick with a thin nail implanted in his head to erect and control the animal pulling the plow. In other words, a goad is a long stick with a nail at the end that when the animal that was leading the plow to guide it how it should go, so they would have the stick and hit it, so to speak, or lead it with the stick, that it should go straight. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelas that the words of the Chachamim are like kedarbenis, like these goads, ukemasmeres netuim, and like planted nails. So he's explaining, what does this pasuk mean? So he says, Lama nimshel divrei teira ledarvan, why is a teira likened to a goad, to the stick with the nail at the end? Leimeloch to teach us, Ma darvan zeh, just like this goad, directs the cow to go straight when it plows, to give food for the world, because when the cow plows, you have food. Av divrei Teira, so divrei Teira likened to the direction of the Yidden, mechavenes lindehem, it guides their paths, midarkem isef, in the paths of death, the derech achayim, to the way of life. Meaning, as Rashi explains, that Torah leads a person away from death into the paths of life. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech says, the words of Torah are like a goad. The goad leads the animal to produce food, so Torah guides the person. So he says, Imad darvin zeh metalto. Just like a goat is movable, I would think divrei teira metalto, teira could also be movable, meaning that they're not permanent. Could anything which is movable is not permanent? Tamalei the teira says masmeres. It's like nails which exist permanently. When you're knocking a nail, it makes it permanent. And he says ima masmezeh. But if you're going to liken Torah only to a nail, when you knock a nail into a piece of wood, it takes away space from the wood and it doesn't add anything to the wood. It's very interesting. Sometimes when you bang something in, the thing expands. When you bang in a nail, the wood doesn't expand. So somebody who thinks of Torah is likened to a nail, which is permanent, I would think the Torah only makes you lose and not gain. So therefore it says, Tamalei Netuyin teaches us that Torah is planted, Manatiyazu, just like when you plant part of it, it becomes fruitful and multiplies, Avdivrei Torah, part of it, so Torah words also multiply and grow and multiply. So the Gemara is explaining the first half of the Pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech likens Torah to goads, nails, and plants. So the Gemara says, why is Shlomo HaMelech likening Torah to all these things? So he says, Torah is likened to Darban, meaning the goad, because just like a goad leads the animal to produce, Torah leads a person to produce. Then the Gemara says, but Darban is movable, so it's not permanent. So the Gemara says, no, Torah is likened to a nail, which is permanent. But if you're likening Torah to a nail just takes away and doesn't add. So therefore it says, Torah is likened to fruits. You plant fruits, not only does it not take away, but it multiplies. That's why Shlomo HaMelech is likening Torah to all these types of things. And then it says, Bali Asufis. Bali Asufis means master of assemblies. What does it mean, masters of assemblies? Elu Tamidei Chachamim. This refers to the scholars, Sheyeshvin Asufis Asufis, that sit in various groups, Ve'eskim B'Torah, and they occupy themselves in Torah. And the Gemara says, what does this mean? Halolu Mitamim, there are scholars that make things tamei. Halalu mitarim, and there are scholars that make things pure. Halalu esrin, there are rabbis that prohibit, and there are those that permit. Halalu pesin, some disqualify. Halalu machshirim, and some make it fit. So a guy can come along and say, what's going on here? By the way, this is a complaint that a lot of people say. You look in Torah, arguments, yask a shayla, different opinions. This rabbi says yeah, this rabbi says no. We're talking about competent rabbis. That they say yeah, and this one says no. This one says kosher treif, permissible to... So a guy could say... Huh? Depends how much you pay him. So a guy would come along and say, Shamayim and Adam. If a guy will come along and say, Eich ani lomed, how can I learn Torah properly if everything's arguments? Talmud, so the answer is, Kulam nitnu mereya echad, that God, they're all given from one shepherd. Meaning, the opinion that says kosher and the opinion that says treif came from the same place. Kel echad nosnam, God, one God gave them. Parnes echad amarim, one leader proclaimed them, Mipi odin kolamaisim baruchu, from the mouth of God. Like it says, Vayedaber Elokim es kol advarim ha'el, Hashem spoke all these words, which means any possible word of Torah, Hashem already spoke before. So it says, Af ato asei oznecha kapareches, make your ears like a millhopper. A millhopper, it says, Rashi explains, it's a funnel. Okay? A funnel, you put a lot of stuff in on top, but when it comes at the bottom, it comes one by one. So he said, if you make your ears like a funnel, that means much grain could be poured into the mouth, but only a small amount can flow from the spout, so then you'll be okay. If you listen, uknei l'chalev, inquire yourself a heart, l'shmeyaz divrei metamim, to listen to the people that say tamei. As divrei metaharim, and the words of the people that say it's pure. As divrei esrin, the people that say it's forbidden. As divrei matir, and the people that say it's permissible. As divrei pesim, as divrei machshirim, to listen to the words of the ones that make it kosher and the ones that make it unfit. So what's the Gemara explain? This is a fundamental question which is asked by many, many people. It's based really on the Gemara that doesn't. The Gemara says the statement in a different place. When the Gemara speaks about the machlekes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you know, Beis Hillel usually was lenient, Beis Shammai is usually strict. So the Gemara asks, is there an argument, a doubt by God? In other words, the Gemara's question really is, what did God really say? Did God say kosher? Or did he say treif? How could Beis Hillel says God said kosher, and Beis Shammai says God said treif? How could it be? So the Gemara answers, Elo v'elo divrei Elokim chayim. Both are the words of God. Which means, in Torah, you can have opposite opinions and both are right. In the practical halachic aspect of it, only one is right. But in Torah, both opinions are right. Which means, when there's an argument, to give an example, when there's an argument, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the halach is like Beis Hillel. Except in the Gemara Shabbos, we learned from it. But as a rule, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the halach is always like Beis Hillel. So what would be if somebody would take all the Beis Shammai opinions and learn them? They wouldn't get a mitzvah of learning Torah. Of course they would. But the question, but the halach is not like that. That in the practical aspect of Torah. But in the learning of Torah, every opinion is correct. Which explains, by the way, many times you have in the Gemara, you can learn a page of Gemara, or more than a page of Gemara, And at the end, the Gemara says it's wrong. Everything we learned until now, the last page or so, the Gemara says is wrong. So the question is, if it's wrong, why didn't they take it out of the Gemara? They should have taken it out of the Gemara. Or anytime the Gemara, and many times the Gemara refutes an opinion. If the Gemara refutes an opinion, so why do they leave it in the Gemara? Take it out if it's wrong. What's the answer? The answer is it's not wrong. It's only wrong in practical halacha. Or to use Chassidic terminology, by the way, from the name of Elohim, you say, Elo va'elo divrei Elohim chayim. From the name of Elohim, both could be right. The Gemara says, Vahavaye imay. Hashem imay halacha kameiser. When it comes to halacha, Dvar Hashem, Yudke Vavke, then only one opinion's right. But in Torah, both are wrong. Both are right.
Isn't Elohim lower, after?
Yeah, but Elohim, in the level of concealment, both are right. In the level of revelation, in how to paskin, only one opinion is right. Now, what's Taka's explanation? Why is it right? Because you can have two opposite opinions and both are right. For instance, somebody could ask a question, is this room big or small? One guy will tell you it's a big room, and another guy will tell you it's a small room. And they're both right. Why? Depends what you're comparing it to. If you're comparing it to this cup, the room is very big. If you're comparing it to Madison Square Garden, the room's small. So both are right. You could say it's big, you could say it's small. It's both right. You can have a logic. If you look at the logic one way, it's kosher. You look at the logic another way, it's treif. But the logic is correct. It depends how you look at it. You can look at it with chesed, kindness, and it'll be kosher. You can look at it with strictness, and it could be punishable. And both are right. I'll give you an example. A person will say, somebody doesn't keep Torah and mitzvahs. Yeah? Stone him. He's not religious. Stone him. Another guy will say, hug him and kiss him. And bring him closer. Both approaches are right, by the way. Not in practical halacha. Practical halacha, you have to do the Chabad approach, you know. Hug him and kiss him. But the Torah approach. Now, so what does it mean? From a Torah perspective, there's a logic to say, this guy doesn't keep mitzvahs, kill him. But if you look at him with a good eye, you say, one minute, did he ever study? Did he ever learn? Is it his fault that he doesn't know? What do you want from him? So then the Torah would say, then don't punish him. Both approaches are right. Both approaches are a Torah approach. It depends if you go with kindness or you go with strictness.
That's why it's the acquires of a heart?
Yes. Lev Tov. That's the difference why sometimes, but both are Torah. Remember we mentioned the example, the classic example Chassidus brings down. At the end of Chumash Bereishis, it says, not Chumash, Parshas Bereishis, it says the people became corrupt. So God says, Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Menorah, if a person is born bad, let's kill him. Then after the flood, it says, Noach brought a carbon, and Hashem smelled the carbon, whatever that means. And Hashem said, you know what, we can't destroy the people anymore because a person is born bad. The same logic God used to destroy the world. After the flood, God used the exact same logic to say, I can't destroy the world anymore. A person is born bad. That's the logic. A person is bad. So now the question is, so before the korban, before Noach appeased God, so to speak, God said, person's born bad, kill him. After the Mabul, Noach brought a carbon. Hashem was appeased by it. Hashem said, oh, 1 minute. Now that the person is born bad, so when he do bad, I can't blame him. What do you want from him? Is the glass half full or the glass half empty? Both are right. But it depends. If you're looking at one way, it's half full. If you look at another way, it's half empty. Both are right. So the Gemara is saying over here, this is what Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelis. That the people, number one, taters, they could daven like this goads and the nail, which is permanency, and then it's fruitful and multiplies. And then he says in the Pasuk, the gatherings of the Jews, they occupy themselves in Torah. So he says, what does this mean? That even though in Torah you have so many different opinions, this one says kosher, this one says straight, this one says pure, impure, whatever it is, he said, you know what? It all came from the same place. And Torah allows to be one way and another way. So the Gemara concludes over here, Balashin as a Amru. With this expression, he said, Rabbi Yechanan said, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Yechanan ben Breka and Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma, Ein dor yosim, there is no orphan generation, as long as Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya shari b'seich, as long as Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya who is in the generation. Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua is praising Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya for his words of wisdom, and he said, as long as Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya is existing, don't worry, there's no orphan generation. Okay? Yeah, that's the proof to Rashi. Yes. In fact, the Mefarshim say that's the proof of to Rashi. But now the Gemara asks the question, why didn't they tell it to him straight? When Rabbi Yeshua asked them what was taught in the Beis Medrash, why didn't they answer right away? Why did he have to bug them first? You know, we're your disciples, we don't want to talk. And he made them talk. Why didn't they just say, he asked them a question, answer the question, what's the big deal? He said, Mishumaisa Shoyi, because a story once happened, a similar story, and a student spoke in the presence of his teacher, and he became blind. So, as I was going to explain. So they got scared. And until he forced them to do it, they didn't want to do it. Because the Gemara is going to now elaborate on a story that took place in the Halacha, that a student spoke in the presence of the teacher, and the teacher got angry at them, and he made his eyes blind. Later he davened that he became healthy, but he became blind because a student spoke in the presence of a teacher. The Gemara said, "Mishum Maisa Shoyi," because of a story that took place. What happened? The Tanya Maisa Rabbi Yosi ben Damascus. There's a story of Rabbi Yosi of Damascus, Ben Damascus, Shahalach LeKabel Pnei Rabbi Eliezer BeLud. He went to meet Rabbi Eliezer, his Rabbi in Lud. Amalei Machidus Shaiyaya Beis Medeshayim. So again, it's a different people. But again, the Rabbi asked his student, "What was done in the Beis Medrash today?" Amalei, they said, Nimna v'Gamru Amin Amayev Maaser Maaser Ani B'Shvias. That the nation of Amin Amayev has to give the tithing of the poor people in the sabbatical year. I explain in a second. Amalei said to him, Yaisi, Pshet Yotcha v'Kabal Einacha. Stretch out your hands and accept your eyes. Basically, he cursed them and they should go blind. What's going on over here is very simple. Sabbatical year, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to plant anything. Okay? Well, the Jews, but that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which was sanctified, when the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, they conquered the nation of Ammon and Moab, and therefore that became Israel. If it became Israel, in the sabbatical year, you don't plant. So you have no obligation of tithing, of maaser, if you're not planting. But when the Jews went into Golus, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha. When they went back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, only those nations that the Jews lived in became holy again. Ammon and Moab, the Jews didn't live there during the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim said, if Jews are not living in there, we want you to plant in Shvius, in the sabbatical year, because the poor people need to eat. So when you plant and you tithe 10% of the field to the poor people, they'll have at least what to eat. So even though originally there was a Kedusha there, but when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, those countries lost the Kedusha, and during the second Beis HaMikdash, it didn't regain it. So this is what this person, Rabbi Yossi ben Dormiskis, said to Rabbi Eliezer, the din which was said in the Beis HaMikdash. That what? That Am and Amayav have to tithe during the sabbatical year. So he said to him, go blind. Why? So Bacha, Rabbi Eliezer, so after he cursed him, he cried, and he says, say that Hashem Lireyav, the secret of Hashem is to those that fear him, and the ones, the covenant to inform him. Why Amale Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yosef, Lechem Arlohem, go tell him, that you, with your colleagues, don't worry about your voting, because your voting is worthless. Because Kachma Kublanim Rabbi Yechem and Zakai, Sheshama Mirabe, Rabbi Yechem and Zakai already heard it from his Rabbi, you heard it from his Rabbi. Halachal Meshem Esinai, Amin Amayav, Ma'asin Ma'isir Ani Beshvias. He says, he asked him like this, tell me the new din in the Beis Medrash today. So he said, they came up with a new din, that Amin Amayav, you have to tithe, during Shvias. So Rabbi Lazar said, you idiot, basically. He said, you idiot. This is already given 20 generations ago. You tell me this is a new din made up? This is Rabbi Yechman Zake said he got it from his Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're coming and tell me, hey, they made a new din in the Beis Medrash. This is older than the hills. Because of that, Rabbi Lazar ben Azai got angry. Rabbi Eliezer got angry at him, and he made him blind. So, the Gemara is still in the middle of the story. But that's why the Gemara explains these rabbis were afraid to talk, because if it wasn't the Chiddush, they didn't want to go blind. And the Gemara says, Matam. So he says, what's the reason for this? So he said, very simple. Habit Kerokim, there are many villages and cities, Kofsho Eile Mitzrayim, that the people that came out of Mitzrayim into Eretz Yisrael conquered. But like Kivshim Eile Bavel, and the people from Bavel, when they went up to the second Beis HaMikdash, didn't capture them. Like Amon Amayav. The Jews going out of Egypt captured it, and not later. Because the first holiness of Eretz Yisrael, Kitchel Lashaita, was only holy during the duration of the Jews' presence. The Kitchel lost the loving, but did not remain holy when the Jews went up for the second Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when the Jews went up to the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, Henichem, they let them go, that the poor people should have food to eat during the sabbatical year. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara continues, Tana, La'achash and Yisyash v'dayte, after Rabbi Eliezer calmed down, Omar, he davened and he said, Yerotzen sheyachzer eina Yesi l'mekeiman, I davened to God that Yesi's eyes should go back, meaning he should be able to see again. The Chazan and the Gemara says he was able to see again. The bottom line of the story is the students were hesitating to speak in the presence of the Rebbe. They didn't want to get cursed.